Thanks. I wasn't planning on speaking at this until very last minute. And the reason is because I invited two of my co-authors, and I expected each of them to speak about this very topic. And we got the title from Christoph, and it was about Kliatchko idempotence, and I said, well, that's not it. And then I spoke to Nantel, who's the other co-author who was invited, and he says, yeah, I'm going to mention what this, talk about this. The title of his was Quotients, and then he said, but then I'm also going to talk about this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And I said, no, you can't just mention it in passing. This work was directly coming from topics in this workshop. As a matter of fact, I believe it was mentioned 2 years ago in the problem session for this workshop when it was held at Queen's. So this is with work with Nantel, Christoph, and also Mercedes Rosas, who was here as a postdoc last year and who was at UCAM the year before. And really, this work has happened over the last 2 years, and we finally put it all together. And we were asking questions that are very much related to what goes on in this workshop, and that we're going to be talking about co-invariance. So I'm going to let Xn equal a set of variables, and for now, they'll be commutative. And then I'm going to denote Qxn as the polynomial in those variables. And then I want to call SimN is equal to the symmetric polynomials in those variables. And then the co-invariance, I guess QXN mod the ideal generated by SimN plus. That is, this is the ideal generated by the symmetric polynomials with zero constant term. So, because SimN can be viewed as this polynomial ring, E1XN, E2XN, ENXN. This is the fundamental theorem of symmetric functions, that the symmetric functions can be written as a polynomial in these elementary symmetric functions. And so it turns out it's not very hard to write down a Grobner basis for this ideal up here, and you can work out explicitly what the graded dimensions are. Doesn't matter what the term order is. It's just you can write down one. I haven't written it down. I'm not going to. It's not something I really want to specify, but if I write it down, you can see what the graded dimensions are going to be. Theorem is that graded dimensions the Q analog of n factorial, where n is 1 minus q to the n over 1 minus q, and n q factorial is just 1 times 2 times n. So it's finite. This quotient turns out to be finite, and its degree is, the dimension of the whole space is going to be n factorial. And of course you can do this with any group. You can start with a group that has an action on variables, and then you write down the invariants, you generate the ideal of the ideal generated by the invariants, you mod the polynomial ring, mod this, the invariants, and you say that's the co-invariants. And it's an amazing theorem of Chevalet that this happens all the time, that the dimension of the co-invariants is equal to the order of the group that you started with. Oh, sorry. If and only if the group is generated by reflections. Okay. So, one thing that came up 2 years ago was, now, what happens if this is non-commutative? And that was mentioned just briefly in passing, but Mercedes Rosas, I don't know if she was there that year, but she had 2 years ago? She was working on exactly this topic of what are the invariants of the non-commutative polynomials. And so she and Bruce Sagan had written down the Hopf algebra. Actually, I think they were just working on the algebra of non-commutative polynomials which are invariant under the symmetric group. So, of course, there's the other side of this story is the harmonics. So before I go on to the non-commutative case, let me define the harmonics are the set of polynomials which are killed by all of the symmetric differential operators. Such that for all symmetric polynomials, if I turn this f into a differential operator and act on g, then I get zero. Okay. And it's this inverse systems that shows that the harmonics is isomorphic to the space of co-invariants. Okay? So the next step would be to ask what happens in the space of non-commutative polynomials. Actually, no, as a module. Everything I'm going to say here, we know very little about the ring structure. And the classical case, I think, is probably better understood, but as far as what I'm going to say about the non-commutative polynomials, I only know what happens on the level of modules. We are able to say quite a bit, but it's an interesting question to ask what happens for the ring structure. So let's look at Xn now. I'm going to use the same notation for the set of variables, but now they're non-commutative. And these are non-commutative polynomials. And then I need to look at the symmetric invariant non-commutative polynomials. And so this is what Rosas and Sagan have been working on, or had been working on, just about the time that we were, actually even before, but about the same time we had these workshops. They defined this space NC-SIM. And these are going to be non-commutative polynomials which are symmetric under the SN action. So, such that I think it doesn't appear much in the literature, but there is a couple references. Say, there's one about 1930s by Wolf, and Wolf proved that this is a free algebra. So that there are a set of free generators for NC-SIM. Not finitely many. Wait, no, there are finitely many when it's n variables. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's infinite dimensional.
Oh, n refers to the number of variables.
So it's a graded vector space, though. So let me write down the first couple ones, because you'll actually see a pattern. There's a monomial basis for this, and that's the most natural one to start looking at. And I'm going to define M indexed by the empty set, is my monomial basis indexed by the first. I'm going to have to index it by some combinatorial object, just in the same way the symmetric functions are indexed by the combinatorial objects of partitions. For every partition, there exists a monomial symmetric function. So what's the combinatorial object you're going to put here? I'll start with the empty set, and this is 1. The monomial corresponding to 1 in n variables is just x1 plus x2 plus xn. Those are the ones of degree 0. These are the ones of degree 1. What are the ones of degree 2? Well, I can have 1 and 2 separated. That means I'm going to use 2 variables, and 1 and 2 are not together. So I'm going to say 1 and 2. This variable is different from that one. But if I have x1 plus x2, then I have to have x2 plus x1. X2, X1, sorry. And then if I have X1, X3, then I have to have X3, X1. And I have to have XN minus 1, XN, and XN, XN minus 1. The other option is that I could have the first variable and the second variable equal to each other. So I'll put those in the same. All right, I won't separate them by a comma. X1 squared plus X2 squared plus XN squared. Those are the ones of degree 2. They might not be algebraically independent. There is a set of free generators. This is not it. This is just the linear. This is the linear basis. So I could have 1, 2, and 3 separated. X1, X2, X3. If they're all different, then all permutations of this must appear. But then I also have to have X1, X2, X4. Plus X1, X4, X2, plus... So you can see what this monomial is. Well, this is a monomial, and I say this is a monomial symmetric function because given, if I tell you what monomial, one monomial it appears, it determines every other one. Yeah. As a matter of fact, that's pretty much the definition modulo the constant that would come out from the representation. Orbit, yeah, I suppose. Orbit only. Yeah, the orbit monomial. This would be the monomial basis, is what is the analog of what we call the monomial basis in symmetric function. And then, so what are these things that I'm indexing them by? I could write down this one. And that's going to be different than this one. This one is going to start off x1, x1, x2, plus other terms. Because it says 1 and 2 are in the same group and 3 is in a separate group. This one is going to have x1, x2, x1. Plus all of its orbits. This one, 1 and 2 and 3 can be together. And all of its orbits. And of degree 3, there's only one missing. No, because all I do is I permute the variables themselves. So this one ends up x2, x2, x1, plus things that look like that. And then these don't have to appear in those. And so the last one that I'm missing is 1, 2, 3 altogether. And those are going to be x1 cubed, x2 cubed.
So the thing is that the 1, 2, and 3 fully what position the things appear in, and with 1, 2 appears in the first log, it means that variable x1 goes there, 3 appears in the second. Variable x2 goes to the third position.
Yeah, so my notation is going to be I'm going to take k numbers, the numbers 1 through k, and then group them together, partition them. It's called a set partition. So whereas the symmetric functions are indexed by partitions, non-commutative symmetric functions are indexed by set partitions.
You should talk in French. In French, there are two words, and there's no confusion. Partage, don't talk about French.
Well, that's going to appear here. It's going to be one of the terms here. Because there's some orbit of this one that will send it to that.
So it really is
Yeah. And so you can look at the sequence and you say, okay, there's one at degree zero, there's one at degree one, and there's two at degree two, and there are five at degree three. And you ask, well, what is this? What is this indexing set that's going on? And so the degree, the dimension of the degree k of NC sim n is equal to the number of set partitions with less than or equal to n parts. Right. Okay, so let's do an example of, I'll write down a nice long so given that that's the monomial, and I can use any, it doesn't matter what subscripts appear as long as what I'm looking at is whether they are the same or different. So I didn't have to use 1, 2, and 3. I could have used 7, 12, 15. And so what is the set partition which corresponds to this monomial? If this monomial appears, then any one where I permute, where I change all 1s to 5 or all 2s to 7 are going to appear. So this is going to be in the set, well, this is going to be in the monomial symmetric, non-commutative symmetric function, which is indexed by, well, 1 and 3 and 4, 5, 6, 7 are all in the same group. 2 and 6 are in the same group, and then 5 is in its same group. Set partitions of 1 to k. Okay. And now if n is larger than k, then the number of set partitions with of the numbers 1 through k is known as the Bell numbers. And the number of set partitions with of 1 to k with exactly n parts is known as the Stirling numbers. Stirling numbers of the second kind. So we have some combinatorial understanding of what these graded dimensions are, because these things appear quite a bit in the literature. We've dealt with them. We have generating functions to some extent. We have ways of manipulating them. So then, the next question, of course, to ask is, given this setup, what is the non-commutative polynomials modulo the ideal generated by the symmetric non-commutative polynomials? Well, so I want to probably whatever. Ah, that's a good question. And I'm going to do left ideal, and the only reason I'm going to do left ideal is because I don't know how to do the two-sided ideal. That's an open question. And SN will be acting on the right. I don't think, yeah, it's left action?
Yeah, because you act on the
My action is that one up there. So I'm going to take modulo. And I look at it as an ideal. And then we ask, okay, can we ask what is the graded dimension? So the theorem that we first were able, well, I don't know, the order in which all this appears is kind of strange. This turns out to be 1 over 1 minus nq dnq where bnq is the sum for k greater than or equal to 0 of the dimension of nc sim. N q to the k. But I mean, this is Hilbert series is actually telling us really what's going on as far as dimension. This is the Hilbert series for all polynomials. And I'm saying, well, if I divide by the Hilbert series for NC sim, then I'm getting the Hilbert series for the quotient. So it's very suggestive of what happens in the symmetric case, and I didn't write it up. Because what I'm missing here is that this can be thought of as this is 1 minus q, 1 minus q squared, I'll just replace the whole thing, we have the Hilbert series for the whole ring, the whole polynomial ring, 1 over 1 minus q to the n. And then the Hilbert series for the symmetric functions of degree n is exactly 1 over the numerator. So maybe something similar is happening here. And what we notice in actually, it's the theorem of Chevalier, but I don't know if this is known for other reasons. This has to be known for other reasons. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think it just follows from here. That the polynomial ring is isomorphic to sim n tensor the co-invariant. And that's probably just the consequence of the Hilbert series. So it actually happens here that at least on the level of vector spaces, what's going on that? And what we can say even better is that this is happening on the level of modules. On the level of modules, we have that the whole polynomial ring is isomorphic to this tensor. So then one might ask, okay, what is this relation with harmonics? Certainly that was one of the first things we asked. Like, why do the harmonics appear over here? Do we have a similar situation? What would it be? So then we need to say, well, what would be a derivative in the space of non-commutative polynomials? And it turns out, I mean, you can take several different ideas for a derivative. One idea for a derivative is to take dx, and when you apply it to dxa, I'm going to apply it to xi1, xi2, xin. And if these two things agree, then the answer is just delete this first term. And it's zero otherwise. That's probably the stupid derivative, right? It works, though. I mean, this is the one that says that corresponds to these co-invariants. Is that if I define n c-har n to be the set of polynomials zero. I mean, the obvious next question is that, well, what happens if I take a different derivative? And I'll do that one next. So this is NCHAR N is G that are all killed by all of the symmetric polynomials. So NC sim and for all of these. Well, they don't commute. DXA, DXB does not equal DXB. And this may or may not be what you want to take, but certainly if you want to think about left ideals, we've decided, okay, that's what we're looking for. This is in NC. This applied to GXN is equal to zero. So if that's my idea of NC harm, if the non-commutative harmonics is this definition, then NC harm is just isomorphic to QXN mod NC sim as SN modules. We proved it using languages. We had to use we had to get a real handle on what this module actually looked like, and so we needed the idea of a suffix language and a prefix language. This is all theory that you find in Christoph's book, and we were working remotely from him. If we had him in front of us, it would have gone so much faster. He was our expert, but yet he was able to tell us where to look, and then we had to find it. Well, then, you might not be satisfied with this definition of derivative, because there are probably better ways of taking a derivative. So let's look at what happens with the other one, or another one. I don't know this. This is certainly not all of them. Of SN modules. SN modules, yeah. Oh, QSN, yes. Oh, I thought you said XN module. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Well, so my other idea for a derivative, and probably the first one I would take if somebody were to ask me, what's the derivative on non-commutative polynomials, is to define it so that the derivative with respect to x is going to delete x from all possible places. So if I were to apply it to, say, x, y squared, x, I would want my derivative operator to say, well, first delete the first one, then delete the next one, then delete the next one, and add them up, so that it's y squared, x, plus x, y cubed, x, plus x, y, xy squared. And then I guess you would want to say, in general, partial derivative with respect to xa acting on the monomial xi1 xik is going to be the sum for r equals 1 to k. The indicator that a is equal to I R XI1 XIR deleted XIK. That would probably be the good one. Well, the weird thing about this, though, is that now your derivatives commute. So that when I plug them into a non-commutative symmetric function, it's almost like plugging them into a symmetric function, a regular symmetric function with incommuting variables. But we can certainly write down what then is the harmonics, and we called them mhar. And we said, okay, well, now instead of using this operator here, we're going to act on these non-commuting polynomials and ask for all f in xn in nc sim n, and it really doesn't matter if I take nc sim or sim as a polynomial, and I'll just be off by a constant. I have to have that fxn as derivative operator applied to gxn is equal to zero. The thing is that we know more about this derivative operator than we do about that one. And so this ended up being, in some ways, or at least Christoph knows more about this. You look in his book on Frehley algebras, and there's this amazing theorem. So this is the kernel. The intersection of all of the kernels of all of these operators in the space of non-commutative polynomials is equal to the derived Frehley algebra A prime. So there was a characterization already of these differential operators. So what do I mean by A prime? Christoph defined pretty much what that was yesterday. So the Frehley algebra A consists of the constant terms, all the variables that you want, x1, x2, xn. Well, I suppose that's not derived. Yeah. This is the regular Frehley algebra. And then all of the brackets that you can think of, x1, x2, x2, x3, and then brackets of brackets. And then you just close this under, you start with these, and then you close it under bracketing operation. And then what do you get? That's the Frehley algebra, and then the derived Frehley algebra is just 1 and all of the brackets. Yeah, you just take away the variables. You take away the degree 1 terms. Well, why is this good? I mean, let's check. The bracket of x and y is xy minus yx. It's not in the kernel? It is in the kernel. Okay, it is in the kernel. Well, I think the way we defined it in the paper, it was in there. But, okay, whatever. I don't mind being slightly imprecise. No, we have to have one in A prime. It has to be there. I thought he said the constant terms were in the Frehley algebra. Huh? Okay. Anyway, here's a bracket. What happens if I take the derivative of the bracket with respect to x? We'd better get that it's zero because I say it's in the kernel. It's in the derived Frehley algebra, and certainly it's y minus y. Okay, so it turns out like any brackets you do. So the Poincaré-Birkhoff width theorem allows you to show that this QXN is the derived Frehley algebra tensored with the regular polynomials. So that's kind of interesting. And if you notice the interaction of this isomorphism with the differential operators, then you can also say that M har n, this is isomorphism, is A prime tensor Hn, where Hn is the normal harmonics here. And this, so if you just look carefully at the, this is all happening on the level of vector spaces, but if you look carefully at what's going on, you should be able to say that this is all happening on the level of modules as well, Sn modules. And then let's look at M har n tensor Simen. Why is this good? This M har n is isomorphic to the derived Frehley algebra tensor with Hn tensor with Simen. Hn is isomorphic to the co-invariants. The co-invariants are isomorphic to Sim. Co-invariants tensored with Sim are isomorphic to QXN. So this thing right here is isomorphic to QXN. So all of these show us kind of what picture is going on here. And so whereas we have this analogous formula where n, yeah, because this is isomorphic to this, we have NC sim tensor n NC harmonics is isomorphic to non-commutative polynomials. Then we also have that this other type of harmonics tensored with Sim is isomorphic to non-commutative polynomials. And with a little extra work, or maybe a lot of extra work, you can show that it happens on the level of Sn modules, even though this is, I think my proof up here was all on the level of vector spaces, but it does all work. So I'm missing one piece of the puzzle. I've got harmonics corresponding to co-invariants. Harmonics corresponding to co-invariants. I've got harmonics. What is my missing co-invariants? What goes up there? And we had to sit down and think about that one for a while. Is that there should be something that corresponds to the M har n. So QXN is also endowed with another type of product. And if we use that product, describe an algebra, so it's endowed with the shuffle product. And the shuffle product is, I take x, which is one of my variables, and I take y, which is another one of my variables, and I take u, which is just the sum monomial, and v, which is another monomial. Might as well, u and v. These are monomials, and x and y are variables. And I take x, u, shuffle, y, v. The question is, how do you shuffle them? Well, you put down one, either one from this term or one from that term. So this is, and then you shuffle everybody else. So you say that's x times u shuffle with y, v, plus y with x, u shuffle v. So the non-commutative polynomials have this shuffle product, and this shuffle product is commutative. Okay, let's take, oh yeah. You're right. I need to say one shuffle of any monomial is the monomial itself. And then as an example, let's take x, x, y, shuffle with that. So it's a little bit easier. You just say, okay, I can place an x or I can place my z. So I'll just place my x and I'll shuffle xy with z. Let me finish the recursion, then I will go through it. Because I'm following what the definition is, and then you'll see it's very simple to explain without following the definition. This one is xxy. This one, I have to use the recursion again. It can be done. Oops. This should be Zek. I need to finish this term.
You're playing at being a computer.
And I'm not good at it, as you can see. So if I expand that first term, I get this thing, and if I expand this, I get xxy. Then y shuffle with z is just going to be y plus z. Yeah. xxyz plus xx. ZY plus XZ XY plus Z X XY. Yeah. Right. Right. So, I mean, the formal definition is kind of hard to see what's going on, but once you do an example, it just, what happens is Z gets shuffled into either it's here, or it's here, or it's here, or it's here. If it's a longer word, you really shuffle. You tell me what happens, those cards end up in their same relative order, but they're in all possible ways. Yeah. It's commutative. It acts very nicely on words, and it is exactly what is dual to that picture up there, in that if you take the non-commutative polynomials and you generate the ideal of the non-commutative invariance under the shuffle product, and you ask what is what is the co-invariance with this shuffle product? It's exactly the thing which is isomorphic to MR. So, I should really specify that I'm talking about an algebra with this shuffle product modulo the ideal NC sim N plus with the shuffle product. And this is isomorphic to MR. Mm-hmm. Now, at this point, there are quite a few questions you can start asking. Like, everything that we know about that, how much do we know about this? And we've mostly just shown it on vector spaces and SN modules. And it's
you're picking a
these are vector spaces, and I'm endowing it with a commutative product. Yeah. So when I write down QXN, normally I imply the product is the standard, but it's not in this case. I want to endow it with this other product. Yeah. Well, it's ever since the last 2 years, I think, we've been working on it. And as a matter of fact, I remember last year, we were talking about it at this very conference. Probably 2 years ago, we had actually started asking the questions. And I think Christoph brought it up in the problem session.
N prime is derived freely in algebra, to which you add one. And you consider tensor product with almost everything. You have a natural description of it, except A prime tensor product with C. I'm just wondering if this is nice. If there's a nice description of this.
We easily should write down the generating function so we could think about it. Would just tell us immediately what it should be. So let me do the calculation and see if that's anything I recognize.
Yeah, something that would have an intrinsic description instead of just saying this is just combinatorial in this thing.
Well, I'd like to say, hey, it's NC sim. But I don't think it is.
No. Okay.
Shouldn't be.
There's something else crazy here. It's interesting. It's a graded algebra.
Yeah.
But it's not generated by the substitute one, like an algebra. Which one? This QXN with the shuffle product.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. The generator is all
Indian. Yeah, no, okay, so the question, so where are the generators? They're all over.
All over. Yeah. All
Indian. Yeah. There is a Hilbert series. I think we can derive it directly from this statement up here. Is that it's because this holds on the level of vector spaces. So the for NHAR, the Hilbert series, and I don't think we ever wrote this down. It should be 1 over 1 minus NQ over the 1 over 1 minus Q, 1 minus Q to the N, or so. Using this statement right here. So it should be 1 minus Q, 1 minus Q to the N.
when you look at algebra, you see how all the arrangements are going to be one.
Right, it's not standard.
But here you have, what can you do people in the universe system? For non-solutive universe system, it's a germ of something for non-solutive variables, not going to be true. So, we will stop for granting us, but now we have to view the future. What to do next?
Yeah.
I remember 2 years ago that Tony and I was also thinking about this, that we started thinking of the hard problems that non-solutive refers to the alternating. You take the alternating algebra, all you take the. And that's much simpler because that will only be one generator for the ideal. Sometimes I just come up with the generator of the ideal method.
Now,
probably that would be a similar theorem for that.
Right, but it, you're talking about a completely different action where you're.
The alternating product. Alternating variable instead of non-commutative.
Right.
That should be a similar theorem.
Yeah. In this case, we had all of the tools for the non-commutative form.
Any other questions? Okay. Thanks, Michael.